So it's some people say that when we are doing kirtan, we should never say Ramo. But there are many devotees who sing like that, and there are also scriptural statements also which have Ram in the various grammatical forms, out of which Ramo is one. Okay, there are I would say three different things over here. First is when it comes to grammar, it's Rama, Rameti, Ramaya, Ramasya, all those different forms are there. And in the appropriate grammatical structure, to use Ramo or Ramaha, Ramasya, that is not only acceptable, that is essential. So, from the grammatical perspective, when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, here it's a direct invocation. So, where a grammatical form requires Ramasya or Ramo, then it is essential, but in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, Ramo or Ramasya is not required. So I would say that example may not apply over here, because that's a grammatical requirement for the verse, whereas it is not a grammatical requirement here. That's the first point. But second point is that here there is this verse, while you were asking the question, I found this verse in CC Adi Khanta 11.108. Actually, I had been asked the same question on my website, The Spiritual Scientist. So the verse is Murkho vadati Vishnaya, Dhiro vadati Vishnave, Ubhayostu samam punyam, Bhavagrahi Janardana. So Vishnu, when it goes in possessive, it becomes Vishnave. But then Dhiro vadati Vishnave, the wise people, they say Vishnave. But Murkho vadati Vishnaya, some people may say Vishnaya also. But there is a grammatically correct form, there's a grammatically incorrect form. But Ubhayostu samam punyam, both will get the same devotion, same result. Here, punya refers not to material piety, it refers to spiritual credits. Why? Because Bhavagrahi Janardana, that Lord Janardana, he sees the essential mood. So, now somebody may be chanting Ramo, and they may be doing it with great devotion, they will advance. And if we criticize them for chanting Ramo, now, whatever devotion is there, that might get evaporated, and we might commit apradha. So, therefore, it's best in devotee circles to be not judgmental towards others. And I would say that there are many Srila Prabhupada's anecdotes which have to be seen in the broader context of the philosophy. There is a whole incident about, in Vrindavan, some devotees were reading the previous Acharya's books. And one devotee came and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, no, devotees have stopped reading your books, they are reading all previous Acharya's books. Prabhupada was upset. If they don't have basic understanding, then they will not be able to, then they will commit offenses, they will misunderstand. And Prabhupada said, if they're going to do like this, then they should not have access to this previous Acharya's book. Better those books be burned. And then this devotee went back and told that, oh, Prabhupada has said all the previous Acharya's books should be burnt. And the devotees created a big fire and they were about to put the previous Acharya's books in the fire. And then one devotee ran to Prabhupada and Prabhupada said, Prabhupada, the devotees are putting these books in fire. What? Prabhupada said, what nonsense? These are our worshipful Acharya, their books are to be worshipped. But Prabhupada, you said that the books are to be put in the fire. Prabhupada said, I never said that. So then they found out actually what are the emphasis. So Prabhupada was saying that Prabhupada's emphasis was don't just go nectar shopping. Now read books properly and try to understand systematically. So I think anecdotes from Prabhupada's life are important, no doubt, but they have to be seen in the broader context. So broader context means there is the whole bhakti philosophy which Srila Prabhupada has given. And now, during Srila Prabhupada's time, the devotees were so new. And there must have been many, many devotees who pronounced the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in an incorrect way. Or in a way not exactly grammatically correct. If Prabhupada had considered that a very important issue, then Prabhupada would have said it repeatedly. It is unlikely, extremely unlikely, that this particular one anecdote that has been quoted, that is the only time in Prabhupada's presence that somebody chanted Ramo instead of Ram. So, and if that is the only time when Prabhupada corrected it, then I would say that means Prabhupada did not consider that as extremely important. So what we should focus on is the essential mood of devotion. And in the case of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, for musical effect, just like for grammatical effect, the word Ram will go into its various, into many different variants. So like that, for musical effect, the word Ram can also go into variants. So that's not a major issue. For example, in many parts of India, people don't pronounce Krishna, they pronounce Krishna. So now, is it Krishna or is it Krishna? Now, we could have a long debate over this and find and see what is that in tradition. But it doesn't matter. Bhavagrahi Janardana. So, I mean, if some devotees emphasize that, we can respect them for their emphasis. But we don't have to make that emphasis into an absolute fact. And we should certainly not judge those devotees who are chanting the Mahamantra differently. So, I said, three main points. Krishna is Bhavagrahi. Second is, Mr. Prabhupada's anecdotes have to be seen in the light of his broader teachings. So, and thirdly, that the for musical purpose, certain variation is allowed. Therefore, there's no need to make this into a big issue. Does it answer your question?